This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Inshallah, continuing with our series here in the month of Ramadan, Harmony, Family Within the Quran. Today's topic is a little bit sensitive in nature. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the mention of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam and the dynamics with his wife. We alluded to this earlier when we talked about the wife of Nuh alayhi salam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions both the wife of Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam in the same ayah, surah number 66, surah At-Tahrim, ayah number 10. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضَرَبَ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah gives the example of disbelief, the epitome of disbelief. اِمْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. The wife of Noah and the wife of Lot, Lut alayhi salam. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحِينِ. They were both wed to two of our righteous servants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. And both of them betrayed their husbands. فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And nothing could save them and protect them from the accountability and the reckoning with Allah. وَقِيلَ دُخُلَ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. And it was said to them that both of you enter into the fire of hell along with everyone else that is doomed to the fire of hell. May Allah protect us all. When talking about the situation of the wife of Lut alayhi salam, there's two things that I think are important to touch upon. First and foremost is the evil that was dominant at the time of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam is a very important and relevant issue. It's important and relevant because Allah speaks about it in the Quran in multiple places, Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah Hud, Surah Al-A'raf, many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this issue. It's also important and relevant because to our topic here, because it is something that very negatively and very destructive, it is something that is very destructive to the institution of family, which we are talking about. And then thirdly, it's particularly relevant to us today as a society, as a community, because that evil once again has become very widespread. And that is the evil of lust and desire and sexual deviance. That the quote unquote sexual revolution and the promiscuity and the succumbing and surrendering to one's desires, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses it, that this occurred at the time of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam. The Prophet Lut alayhi salam was the nephew of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He lived and was preaching and working in his community at the same time as the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that evil was, number one, the desires and temptations that exist within a human being, within a healthy human being. That is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within every human being. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah has beautified this, Allah has placed within the people that lust and that desire for the opposite gender. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed limitations and restrictions and given very strict guidelines about how that desire can be exercised. That number one, that desire is only to be exercised in regards to the opposite gender. Number two, That desire can only be exercised within the confines of nikah, marriage. Outside of those, that restriction, those guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that the opposite gender and marriage, outside of that, any exercising of that sexual desire, that shahwa, that lust, is haram, it is forbidden, it is a deviation, and it is destructive to human beings and to society at large. And what this is, what the Quran is talking about, the fitna, the fasad, the destruction that is occurring at the time of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam, is primarily, not only is it occurring outside of the confines of marriage, but it is also occurring outside of the rule and the restriction that it can only be exercised with the opposite gender. So same sex, same gender sexual relations, homosexuality became rampant, and people engaged and indulged in this destructively and recklessly, and they destroyed themselves and they destroyed their communities and all of society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Lut alayhi salam to preach to them, to warn them, to reprimand them, to rebuke them. But rather than heed his warning, they turned against him and they threatened violence against him and his followers, and they threatened to kill them and murder them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath descended upon them. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذِرِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rained down His wrath upon them and annihilated and destroyed them and made an example out of them that Allah speaks about in the Quran. And that's, number one, the evil of it itself. And then particularly related to our topic here, where we're talking about family and trying to improve our family dynamics and relationships by studying the Book of Allah, studying the Quran, understanding how centering Allah within our lives is the first and foremost step to improving our homes, our families, and thereby all of society, and making the world a better place. And that is part of the promise of Islam. That is part of the beauty of this religion. That this deviance, this evil, this maybe more than any other evil, is particularly destructive to, obviously, society and spirituality, but also destructive to the institution of family. And we see that happening all around us today in the world. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that here. The second topic that I also wanted to address in regards to the wife of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam, Allah says, فَخَانَتَهُمَا, that the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut, they betrayed their husbands. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, it's quoted by Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions that how did they betray their husbands? Particularly in this example that we're talking about, the wife of Lut alayhi salam, he mentions two things. And both of them are connected to one issue. That she had such a desire to be connected and dialed in with the popular people in society. She was so obsessed with being connected, being in the inner circle, being connected to everyone, being socially dialed in and connected. She was so obsessed with that, that she would go to the gatherings of the people that were disbelieving and disobeying. She would go to their gatherings and she would speak about her husband and she would say, إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. He's crazy. He's insane. She would stab him in the back. She would slander him and mock him and ridicule him with those enemies of Allah and His Messenger. And it was all being done out of a desire of, how do I remain connected? How do I not lose my social status? And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes on to say that eventually this is such like an affliction an addiction. This is such a drug to just crave the approval of the people in the society that she eventually started leaking information, feeding them information. He's doing this, he's doing that. These people just believed. Those people just believed. These people are doing this. They're packing their bags. They're talking about this. They're talking about that. She was working as basically an agent and a spy in the home of Lut alayhi salam, against her own husband, her own family, and feeding all that information to the enemy. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says this was her betrayal. And there's a very valuable, powerful lesson within this. The Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spoke about this. He said that the curse of Allah is upon the person, the spouse. That there's nothing more evil and ugly than the spouse taking the private matters of the home, betraying the trust and the privacy of the home, and talking about the private matters of the home outside with other people. Because there's a very evil, a very base, lowly kind of desire that feeds that. That a person craves and feeds off of. And this is something that's very problematic today. The method and the means of communication that we have today that are destroying our lives have made this even more problematic and more widespread. Where, how do we talk about our family members with other people? Are we just trying to score points with people? We're trying to come off and seem cool and savvy and very, you know, sophisticated, or I'm above this person. We're trying to constantly impress people, get in with people, be on the inner circle, be cool with people. And we're betraying, stabbing our loved ones in the back. We're talking about them in a demeaning, humiliating kind of way. We're betraying their trust, their privacy, disclosing their secrets and private matters to other people. Why? The Prophet ﷺ talked to our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, narrates a very interesting narration, Sahih Bukhari, about this gathering of 10 wives, 10 women, who are all backbiting and slandering and talking evil of their husbands. But it can work both ways, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting this to us. That the bond of marriage is a sacred bond. That doesn't mean that we don't address something that's problematic. It doesn't mean that we don't get help when we need help. But when you go to get help, this is addressed by the Prophet ﷺ. That when you make shura, it's called shura, consultation, it's called nasiha. You don't take nasiha from somebody who has even less experience than you do. Who has no expertise and no knowledge. You go to somebody who is specialized in it, somebody who is wise, somebody who's knowledgeable, somebody who is, you know, has wisdom, and you go and you seek nasiha and advice. That's a different matter altogether. But there's a very different motivation that people have when they are betraying the privacy and the trust of the home, and they're constantly backbiting and slandering and demeaning and humiliating their own family members, particularly the spouse. It's almost become like a very, you know, funny, cool thing to do in our culture to mock and ridicule your spouse and talk about them behind their back. And remember that may Allah forgive us all, may Allah protect us all. But if I do that, I need to remind myself and I need to remember فَخَانَتَهُمَا. That was the character. That was the behavior of the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are the absolute worst example of disbelief. They were the worst disbelievers. And so that's something that once again goes back to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we need to fear Allah. That if my partner, my spouse, my family member doesn't find out about what I said, or they can't do anything about it, or maybe I think they don't mind it because they brush it off or laugh it off, what else are they supposed to do? That I have to answer to Allah for this. Backbiting is backbiting. whether I do it to a stranger, whether I do it to an acquaintance, whether I do it to a friend, or whether I do it to a family member. It's not exempt. Where did we get this idea? Slander is slander. Sukhriya, humiliation, mocking, ridicule is evil and haram and sinful, even if I do it to a family member. Just because they kind of smile and brush it off doesn't make it okay. And I will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And that's where taqwa comes back into the equation. That if I can't behave decently because of my love for the person, or out of a sake of decency, let me at least be decent out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having to stand before Allah and answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever we talk about these tough kind of topics, it's heavy. So I'll end and conclude with this. So I'm not sending everybody home feeling really terrible about themselves. Although a little bit of that is good sometimes. But a little bit of upliftment is good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminds us, وَمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. But if somebody repents and they believe and they do the right thing, Allah will change their evil into good. So before we leave here today, while we're here in the blessed nights of the month of Ramadan, in the gathering of the dhikr of Allah and the recitation of the Quran, in the house of Allah in the masjid, let us make tawbah. We repent to Allah. We ask Allah for forgiveness. And we promise to Allah that we will do better going forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace our evil with good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace all of our evil with good. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.